Good morning. Again, we're glad you're here this morning, and we're going to continue our series on hope this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles or on your devices to Psalm 39. That's where we'll begin this morning. Psalm 39. Verse 7. Last week we talked about hope's meaning. Hope is belief in fulfillment. Hope is belief in God's goodness and faithfulness. In Romans 15 we found that God is the God of hope. And yet many, if not most Christians, claim a relationship with the God of hope, but go through life acting, speaking, and thinking and looking like they're hopeless. So we saw that hope is the distinguishing characteristic between believers and non-believers. And so today, I want us to see the source of hope. Hope's source. The writer of the Psalms realized that God is our hope, and God is our source of hope. And as you look in Psalm 39 there, in verse 7, he says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you." So how does God give us hope? How do we understand how we get hope, especially from God? Romans 15, and verse 4, and I want you to see it in the New American Standard Version. That'll be on the screen. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions." So all those things that have been written, that would be the Bible in earlier times, was written for our instruction. To give us instruction, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. So, our first source of hope from God is persevering. Persevering. Persevering in God, persevering with God, persevering for God. Perseverance. So how is hope and perseverance connected? You know, there's other words, a different version for perseverance or endurance or patience. And Paul, when he writes this in Romans, he's talking about patience that's motivated by looking out for the good of others as well as our own. Persevering for ourselves, but persevering for others' benefit as well. If we back up in verses 1 through 3 there in Romans 15. I want you to see it. In the New Living Testament, it says this: "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the Scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." We who are strong should be considerate of those who are sensitive about things. We must not please just ourselves, but we should help others to do what is right, to build them up in the Lord, to encourage them, to give them hope, to help them find and see hope. For even Jesus didn't live to please himself. He lived for others. He gave his life for others. And he says, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." You see, here's the thing we need to understand about that. Jesus took all the insults that you and I could give, could ever give. And Jesus took all the insults that you and I could receive, and he took them on himself. Jesus took all the insults that you and I could ever give or receive and took them on himself. That in itself should give us hope. Amen? I mean, no matter how much someone or how hard or how bad someone insults you, Jesus already took that on. And no matter how much you insult someone else, Jesus took that on. That's why I say oftentimes, most of the time, when we're offended, we choose to be offended. And I think that scripture bears witness to that. Look at Romans 5. Turn back to Romans 5. Verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. Bless you. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, have you ever hoped for something and been disappointed? I believe we've all hoped for something and been disappointed. But you know, the Bible says that hope doesn't disappoint. Hope doesn't disappoint. Did you get that there? Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Hope doesn't disappoint. And yet, we're disappointed in all sorts of things. We get disappointed in our toys. We get disappointed in our jobs. We get disappointed in our kids. We get disappointed in our spouses, our finances. We get disappointed in life at times, don't we? Yes. Do you know what people get disappointed by the most? Do you know what people get disappointed by the most? People. People. It's our biggest source of disappointment. People is our biggest source of disappointment. Could it be, if that is true, and I believe it is, could it be the source of our hope is not the God of hope when we get disappointed? You see, if God, the source of our hope, the God of hope, is our true source of hope, then that should filter a lot of disappointment out, shouldn't it? Where is our source of hope? So when we look at Romans 15 there, and we take verses 1 through 4 as a whole, we get this important truth. We persevere by hope. And perseverance produces hope. Trials produce the need for perseverance. And in times of struggle, it allows us, listen, in times of struggle, it allows us to experience God's love in ways we normally wouldn't if we weren't struggling. And then hope becomes deeper and stronger and more meaningful. Amen. Let me say that again. Trials produce the need for perseverance. You know, when you hit a trial, when you hit a roadblock, when you hit a pothole, and when you hit a ditch, you got a choice. You can back up, turn around, or give up. But God says hope comes through perseverance. So if we persevere, in times of struggle, it allows us to experience God's love in ways that we normally wouldn't. Hope becomes deeper. Hope becomes more real. You know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, the Bible tells us, that he asked God three times to take away. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. Here was God's answer. God's answer to Paul. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christianity, that the power of Christianity can rest upon me. So Paul said, "God, take this away. God, take this away. Take it away." Now, we don't know what that was. We don't know if it was a person, if it was an affliction in his body. There's been all kinds of historical, theological ideas about it, but we really don't know. But God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient." And so there we see a source of hope. God's grace is a source of hope. God's grace is a source of hope. Paul said, "Take it away. Take it away." God said, "My grace is sufficient." And you know, Paul lived with that, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, and he never mentioned it again. So you know what that tells us? God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is a source of hope. God's grace brought hope to Paul. Okay, I'm going to live with this. I'll still have hope. Amen. Let me ask you something. Do you live in fear or hope? I've heard it said that fear is a lack of faith. Now, I don't know about that, if that's totally accurate. I think at times it can be very true, because we all hit things that we run into at times that catch us by surprise or off guard, and you know, fear tries to overtake us. You know, fear is a tool the enemy uses all the time. Doesn't matter what it's about or what it is. But you know, I believe it's an attack from the devil, fear is. But there's people that live in fear. They fear for their life. They fear for their kids. They fear for this. They fear for that. And they just kind of live in a state of fear. And that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan for our lives. You see, when we persevere, we discover something in those darkest times. We discover God's protection. We discover God's protection is a source of hope. God's protection is a source of hope. God's power is our protection. God's power, listen to me, is more powerful than anything known to mankind. God's power. God's power raised Jesus from the dead. God's power today, in places, raises people from the dead. It's the most incredible, strong thing known to man. Nothing can overcome it. Not terrorists, diseases, or disasters. And God's ultimate protection is His salvation. God's ultimate protection is His salvation. And so for the believer, that's the ultimate source of hope. God's salvation. When I have God's salvation, it doesn't matter what happens to me. Because I have God's protection. His salvation. So it doesn't matter what happens. Now, it doesn't mean go do foolish things. But it means we have God's protection as a source of hope. No matter what's going on around us, No matter how many bombs are going off, no matter what the stock market's doing, we have God's protection. We have His salvation. And it enables us to approach life with hopeful expectancy. Expectancy. Expecting God to show up now and then. And then the third thing we see in this part is God's provision is a source of hope. God's provision is a source of hope. How many times have you faced a situation where you thought, I can't do this. I don't have what I need to get by. There's no way I can make it through this. Well, let me say to you, if you think because you're a Christian, or if you become a Christian, it will exempt you from real life, forget about it. Forget about it. No one is immune to the heartaches, the turmoil, the challenges, or the issues of life. This past week, I had to knock on someone's door late at night with two policemen accompanying them and tell them that two of their immediate family members were dead. You see, we don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know what's there. But God's provision is a source of hope. God provides strength. God provides grace. God provides salvation. God provides peace and comfort in the times we need them the most. He is our source of hope. God's provision, a source of hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning verse 8. Paul was speaking here. And really he's talking about having hope in times of despair. Times of bleakness. Verse 8 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying we encounter the same things at times everyone does. But not like those who don't have God and so don't have hope. No, he says we have the grace, we have the protection, and we have the provision of God as our source of hope. You know, there's biblical examples all through the Bible. David comes to mind. David had hope. His source of hope was God. Here he was a shepherd boy out in the field, and all of Israel's great armies were out against the Philistines. And one guy, one man, one giant, 9 feet tall, held all Israel's armies at bay. No one would approach him. But David, the little shepherd boy, came forward. They tried to dress him in all this armor and stuff that he couldn't do anything with. He said, no. You know what? I got the God of hope with me. My God. Who allowed me to protect sheep from a lion and a bear, my God will deliver this guy into our hands. Amen. The three Hebrew young men in Daniel, lives were threatened over and over. And in chapter 3, it comes to the point where here they are, a big idol has been put up and they won't bow to that idol. King says anybody that doesn't will be thrown into this fiery furnace. And so they knew who their source of hope was. God was their source of hope. God's grace, God's protection, God's provision was real to them. And so they depended on that. And of course we know what happened. They were thrown into the furnace. but they came out. They came out by the grace of the God of hope. You see, David was not some extraordinary person when he slew the giant. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not extraordinary young men when they were thrown into the furnace. They were normal people, like us, going through life. But they had the right source of hope, the God of hope. And what was extraordinary about them was where their hope was. They were sold out. They were all in, 100% hope in God. They didn't have 50% of their hope over here and 50% in their own ability. 100% hope in God. And God brought them through. And so the last thing I want you to see today, hope source, the source of hope, and it really pulls everything we've just talked about together. Scripture is a source of hope. Amen. Scripture is a source of hope. You know, we already read earlier in Romans 15 that the Scriptures were written for us so that through them we can have hope. You see, when doubt, when negativity seeks to consume you, what we should do is say, well, what does God's Word say? Amen. I see this, and I see the situation, but what does God's Word tell me? Yeah. I feel this, but what does God's Word tell me? I think that, but what does God's Word tell me? Let's turn to Ephesians 3, chapter 3, if you will, please. Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20. And I believe this, if this doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And it goes on to say, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him, God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now we can think a lot of things, can't we? We can think as high as we can think. But God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. Anything we ask, according to His will, or even think. How? According to the power that works in us. What power? His power. Not our power. His power. And here's what I want you to do. I want us to read that together. Let's read that scripture together. Do you believe that scripture? Let's read it out loud together. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I finish it with the next verse. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. I want to ask you, what is your source of hope? What is your source of hope? Are you persevering this morning? Are you living in disappointment? If you're living in disappointment, maybe the source of your hope is not the God of hope. God's grace is a source of hope. God's protection, God's provision is a source of hope. Where is your hope this morning? What is the source of your hope? You know, the Bible says, some men trust in horses, some in chariots. But real trust is in God. Real hope is in God. I want to ask you, do you have hope this morning? Are you here without hope? I can tell you, God will bring you hope. I didn't say He would eliminate your circumstances or your situation. I said He'll bring you hope. And if you'll persevere, He'll build your character, and your character will build hope. And hope does not disappoint. Hope in God does not disappoint. Because I could let you down. Other people can let you down or disappoint you. But hope doesn't disappoint. If you're a Christian today, you can have hope in the God of hope. If you're not a Christian today, you can put your hope in the God of hope. You can have the salvation that's God's ultimate protection by putting your faith in Him. What's God saying to you this morning? Do you need to redirect or readjust your hope this morning? Do you need to redirect or adjust your hope this morning? He's here to do it with you. If you need prayer this morning, there's people here that will pray with you. We'll have people in the back and in the aisles that will pray with you. Pray with you up here. Do you need hope this morning? Let someone pray with you to find your hope this morning. Father, we thank You that You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more in our lives than we could ever ask or ever think. We thank You, Lord, that You're the God of hope. In Your grace, in times of struggle, is a source of hope. And that we can depend on Your protection as a source of hope. Your salvation as our ultimate protection. And we can, Lord, thank You for Your provision in our lives through perseverance. We thank You for Your Word that is our source of hope. Your Word that can filter out all the emotions and feelings in our lives that try to sometimes just put us in a whirlwind. Scripture, Your Word that filters all the world out, filters all the emotions, filters all the anxiety, and brings stability and hope to some of the messes that we get in or that we encounter. God, we thank You for hope. We thank You that You are the source of hope, the God of hope, and that our hope is in You, that the world's hope is in You, And we pray, Father, that we draw near to you by faith, draw near to you and persevere in hope, the hope of the world, Jesus. Father, we pray as we bring you our tithes and offerings, we say thank you. Thank you for the provision of our lives, the provision of our needs. God, we honor you today. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings, please.